Thank you. Ms. Finch, do you have a counselor that's with you as well, or are you appearing at the podium alone this morning? Okay, and you have supporters, I understand? Okay, there will be an appropriate time for supporters to stand up and give statements. So if you'd like to come up to the front of the podium. And I'll begin by saying that I'm glad to see you in person.
Okay, I'm glad to see you.
Can you state your name?
Tasha Finley.
And your ADC number?
10433.
Thank you. I'm going to read a brief summary. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a 31-412A parole hearing to consider regular parole or absolute discharge, or whether you continue on home arrest status. Just 1 second. I just want to make sure I said that correctly. And I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing with you today. If you can see in the room, we are authorized for a three-member panel. With us today, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. My name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Because you were before this board approximately 6 months ago, I will begin this hearing with a very brief summary. It would appear that you are 43 years old.
Yes, correct.
Certified eligible by the Arizona Department of Corrections for regular parole or absolute discharge. The crime of first-degree murder occurred on or about February 12, 1993. I believe you were approximately 17 years old at the time of the event. On January 26, 1994, you were found guilty by court verdict. On March 10, 1994, you were sentenced to life for first-degree murder. On December 13, 2017, just a few months ago, you were granted home arrest by this board. According to your Community Corrections Progress Report, you live at Phoenix Oasis Halfway House. Are you still living there?
Yes, sir.
You attend counseling and your participation has been rated as good, which is the highest grade. Although you missed one UA, and I recognize these things happen, you have had no positives for drug or alcohol testing. In addition, you have regular employment with Phoenix Marine. Is that where you still work?
Complete Marine.
Oh, Complete Marine. I thought I said Phoenix Marine. Pardon me. With Complete Marine.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And this is your second hearing before the board. We have numerous letters of support in your packet, but we also have a letter dated May 22nd, 2018 from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office opposing graduation to regular parole absolute discharge. And with respect to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, these types of letters are routine. This is certainly not to make this any more emotional than it needs to be, but we don't want to be dismissive that there was a victim, victim survivors in a capital case such as this. So, Ms. Finley, this is your first time before this board in person. Can you tell us about your progress since you were released from prison on home arrest status?
Yes. Well, since I've been out, I've accomplished a lot of things. I went and got my state ID, went to DES, got my assistance, medical care. I got two jobs. I'm trying to do everything I can to see in life and not go backwards. I say I go to counseling every day. I mean, not every day, Tuesdays. And I'm just trying to do what I can and survive, pay back survival.
I have to tell you, Ms. Finley, I recognize that you are probably nervous right now. You may not have testified in this sort of hearing before with you center stage, so to speak, but I think you're doing a good job. And it's nice to see you smiling. I think that's almost an indication of how the process is going for you. So I'll just ask some questions and maybe that'll make it a little easier. How's freedom going?
It's great. It's a feeling that, hey, I long for a long time. It's been good.
And how are you handling being outside of the structure of prison and dealing with the community and people outside? How's that going for you?
I think it's been going good. I haven't had no stress, anxiety, nothing. I've been going to the stores. It's been good. I haven't had any problems.
Well, regardless of how the board votes today, because we do vote individually based on the totality of the progress of an individual home arrest status, again, it's good to see in good spirits. We recognize that people, we say this many times, but this particular board seems to be confronted with people in this transition who have been in prison at the exact time that technology went crazy with computers, the internet, cell phones, and then iPhone technology. It's unbelievable on the outside. So how are you handling the technology?
I'm good. I'm a quick learner. I'm good. I know how to work it. I do. It's only because, see, when I was inside, I worked on computers too, so it really wasn't that hard.
That's good. I think that part took some of the edge off. And you say you're working for a complete marine?
Yes, and I also work for the Carnados, this restaurant, too.
Well, that's certainly says something about your work ethic, having more than one job. Also, I want to take advantage of this time saying, too, that I recognize you had a tremendous amount of support.
Yes,
In terms of when it was time for you to be considered for home arrest or regular parole, and it was meaningful. It wasn't just, I mean, we vote our conscience, we vote individually, but it was very meaningful input. It helped us make an informed decision. You're living at Phoenix Oasis Halfway House. So again, I'll ask you, how are you handling living in a halfway house situation right now? How's that going?
Hey, it's been good. I got some good roommates. The owner is awesome. It's been, hey, they welcome me. Good. No issues.
Well, that's always good to hear. I recognize that there's a variety of halfway houses out there, and it may be a very different situation for the women in transition right now, so it sounds like that's a positive environment.
It is.
I'm the one who's short for words now, too. I do want to say, maybe just for a little bit of levity, you talked about work and your accomplishments. You know, we have a phone book here with a few certificates, so we recognize that you worked very hard in building skills to transition back to the community. Maybe a bit more of a serious question is how are you reconciling with coming out of prison, having been in for a violent crime? I mean, that's kind of a separate issue. Are you receiving any counseling, or?
I just go to that counseling that we discussed why I was in there and stuff like that. I go every Tuesday, but not to outside counseling, no.
We also recognize that home arrest is a very strict transition. I think it's well intended, especially with I think the shock it can be for people who are coming out of the correction system in the community. Although I recognize that you're still considered an inmate, so to speak, of the Department of Corrections. But how are you handling this structured home arrest?
It's been okay. Okay, I just can't see my family unless they come to me.
Well, tell me, because we don't know every part of the individual's journey coming out of the prison system, but if this board saw fit to graduate you to regular parole, would you have more access to your family?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, I'm going to ask my fellow board members, they have any questions for you. Yes, Mr. Johnson.
I'm extremely nervous. All your questions are like one answer and two answers, if there's any questions. So out of your supporters back there, which one of those do you talk the most with?
I talk to all of them.
But which one? Which one would you be talking the most that you would just be jabbing and talking with?
I said.
Huh? Which one?
I talk to my mama, Ellie.
So when you talk to your mama, okay? When you talk to your mama, what do you tell your mama? Do you tell your mama about being excited, that you want to get off parole? Do you tell her about your job? Do you tell her about what you're doing on your job, the things that you do on your job?
It's sometimes.
Do you tell her that you be, you know, that you're not going to be going back, that this is a good deal? Okay, well, tell us some of that.
Yes.
Talk to us like you're talking to your mother. Like you're telling your mother that you're glad to go, that you're looking forward, that you're hoping to get off the monitor so that you can be on parole and what you're going to do and you have an opportunity to do some things. What would you tell your mother?
Yeah, I would tell my mama I am ready to get off this ankle bracelet so I can try to help the youth. I want to go back to school and try to further educate myself, so try to get a degree into helping the kids so they wouldn't come back and do what I did.
Okay, so when you're talking to your mom and you're telling her about your job, you have two jobs, right?
Yes, sir.
And one of the jobs, you work in a restaurant?
Yes.
So what do you tell your mom sometimes the experiences you have in the restaurant?
I tell my mom they'll be working me.
Yes. So what do they be doing?
Washing dishes.
Washing dishes?
Yes, sir. I wash dishes, and I just be telling my mom to feed her, but hey, I keep striving.
Mm-hmm.
Until I get something better.
So do you enjoy it?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Okay. All right. What about your other job that you have? The clerical job.
I help file papers or clean the stuff in computer. It's a boat company.
Okay.
So they sell boats. Okay. So I just have her enter the information in the computer and stuff.
Okay. So when you go to work, do you tell your mom about your day at work or what happened at work, or how you enjoyed going to work?
Yeah, I enjoy work.
So what do you tell your mom? I know you talk to your mom more than that.
I like my job.
You like your job?
I love my job.
Okay. So how do you get back and forth to work?
They pick me up and take me.
They who? They pick you up.
Your support people pick you up and they
take you to work.
Yeah.
All right. And then they have a lot of trust in you. They want to see you be successful.
Yes, they do.
And you continue to work with them?
Yeah.
I just happened to go through looking through your file. This is an old letter from 1999 from the Arizona the Correctional Industry. They talked about how respectful to staff and coworkers, you demonstrated willingness to learn new tasks and appreciate being able to work, that you have strong work ethics, you're dedicated to your job, you displayed exceptional ability to move from one job task to another while always maintaining a high degree of accuracy that says you're able to change priorities quickly and stay focused on the situation. It says that you've been a great asset to any company that you work for. So, I mean, it sounds as though those are still the same things that you adjust, any job you get, you want to work at, but, you know, it's nothing wrong with selling yourself. Nothing wrong with selling yourself. And you come to like before this board, that's what we're looking for you to do, is sell yourself. Tell us about all the good things. Tell us what you're doing. And I know you're nervous, you're just standing up there, you just can't keep your hands. If you hit that desk wasn't there, you'd probably fall down.
That's true. I am a little nervous. But I am doing a lot of good things. The things I can do. I wish I could do more things, but I'm limited right now. But the things I am doing, you know, I work for the church. Maybe that's it right now.
All right, well, you looking forward to doing something different, going to movies, going to visit your family, going shopping, or going to the mall, whatever. You looking forward to doing some of those things?
I am. I do want to go to the movies and see what it is. That's what I ain't been.
So have you been shopping to the store?
I went to Walmart.
Oh, everybody go to Walmart, don't
you? I mean, because, see, I can't really go to, like, the mall.
Okay.
So
how was it going in the Walmart?
Hey, it was good, but it was a lot of choices.
So how are you able to deal with that?
I adjust. Yeah, I've been adjusting.
So you seem to have a good set of supporters, good set of family, good set of friends. Have you learned, you know, to choose your friends and better, you know, how you associate them with what friends you're hanging out with?
Yes. I don't have no desire to go backwards.
Okay.
I got to keep moving forward. Those friends is no more. So my support team, they stuck with me. I'm ready to move forward and do what I got to do.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Yes, Ms. Williams.
So you mentioned you wanted to go back to school.
Yes.
So what's your favorite subject in school? What do you like to study?
That's it. I want to go back to for small business.
Okay.
You know, try to.
Because you were working in the print shop, was it?
Yes, the print shop.
Okay.
I want to get back into that too. I did a resume so I can try to get a better job into that field.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm waiting to see what happens.
So some kind of small business
study
of that kind of stuff.
Okay. I want to try to, because see, my sister them do poetry and books, and I want to do their books as well.
Like get in printing business or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then my other question is, what do you like to do when you have spare time, when you have just, what do you do for fun?
Right now?
Yeah. No. Do you watch TV? Do you read? Do you play games?
Neither, nor. I listen to music.
Okay.
And talk to my roommates.
Okay. All right.
I like to go play volleyball, sports, but right now I can't.
Unless you can do it in your backyard.
Yeah,
you know, okay. Oh, you know, okay, well, then I guess I understand, because the living room is out for that.
Yes.
It'll be breaking the furniture.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, good. So you do like sports.
Yes.
You like to play in sports. Okay. All right, good. Thank you, Mr. Cunningham.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse. I'll follow up with that, too, just for the sake of conversation. You said you enjoy sports. Was that something that you were able to do inside the correction system to pass your time? Did you play volleyball?
Yes. Softball.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a coincidence, and you know, we don't try to commingle cases here, but we have seemed to have had a run recently of people who are coming out, despite how long they've been in the correction system, they're still young, and I do take some happiness that you have a life ahead of you, and that in this graduation, whether it's still on home arrest or ready to parole in the future, it sounds like that you're very vigorous. And obviously you're working hard. I was going to ask you, just out of curiosity, because I'm not always right, but sometimes I read people. When are you interested in accounting at all?
Accounting?
Yeah.
Mm, Not really.
Okay, I was just, no, I'm wrong on that one. I just, you seem so inside yourself, and accountants tend to be very numbers-oriented and, you know, very focused. So I wasn't sure if that was one of the things that you excelled at in your business pursuits.
No.
Not your thing. Okay. So, again, I will follow up with Ms. Rittenhouse. What you said you wanted to study small business?
Yes. I mean, I started some classes when I was inside, but I didn't get to finish because I got out. So I'm going to continue to finish that because I don't like starting something and not finishing it.
Sitting on this board, you know, people don't really see our teeth a lot. You know, it's a serious position. We have to make some serious decisions. But you're seeing a smile a lot today because, and I'm careful not to speak for the board because we're all independent, but I think it's safe to say that when people are given an opportunity, we really want to see them succeed. And so we can afford to be a little lighter today and watching you make this transition, pardon me. You obviously have a lot of support behind you. It was an amazing hearing, frankly, when this board voted to grant you home arrest. So I think at this point, if you want to just have a seat, we'll go through the process of your supporters and not to forget anything that your parole officer wants to share with us regarding your progress. But we'll begin with your supporters. So who would you like to speak first? Maybe I shouldn't put you on the spot, but whoever's ready to come up, we look forward to hearing you. So who wants to come up first?
Thank you for this opportunity to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry, if you can say your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Ellie Hutchison, and I've been friends with Tasha for a little over a year now. And I think she's obviously discounting some of the work that she does with people in the community. One of the things that we noticed when she was on house arrest and had gone to the Phoenix Oasis, and as you can imagine, most halfway houses are somewhat plain and all of that stuff. And I was just sharing with her a moment about how I was possibly moving, and I have all of these empty flower pots in the back of my yard just because I was finishing grad school, so I didn't have time to actually take care of things. And she said, well, what if you bring those down here? And what I said, oh, she didn't get a chance to finish. I said, we could plant some stuff. And she said, yeah, what if we made this a beautiful spot so that way when the women come out and have this space, that just even walking from the gate to the front door, they would have an opportunity to see colors that they haven't seen before. So very fortunately, her parole officer granted her the opportunity for us to go to Home Depot and pick out some flowers together. And Anthony, the owner of Phoenix Oasis, had gone with us and spent about 2 hours looking through flowers and working with a soon-to-be house manager that she is roommates with now. And then we spent the afternoon planting flowers. And all of the other different houses or apartments within that six-unit complex, some of them started to come over and help plant and all of that stuff. And that's something that she said, it's important for us to feel like we're home out here, even if we have this ankle bracelet on. It's important for us to know that things can be beautiful even in this transitional phase and stuff like that. So doing something simple as planting a flower and a cactus, and you should see just what, it's been 6 weeks, and the things that have grown and the teamwork of everybody coming in. There's one of her roommates is real shy and real quiet, and now she comes out and she's having conversations, and we'll sit outside and play cards and you know, eat together and stuff like that. And it's just, she's created this environment where there's a sisterhood, which is a really important thing. And I've never heard anything negative come out of Tasha's mouth. I've gone through some recent hard times, and she's like, you've got this. You've got this moment. You've got this moment. You've got this moment. And because of her pushing me and that positivity, I changed a lot of my attitudes that come and go, right, with age. And one of the things that's really important is I run my own small LLC, and we do creative writing and humanities classes with young kids and just scholars in university settings. And one of the things that she had taught me is this this set of agreements, and with that, I went into a writing retreat this past weekend, and we guided those set of agreements. She's also helping rework my logo, and help me. She's offered to help me design my website, which I have no desire to do, but I also don't want to sit out in 110 degrees outside on the patio to design. So to have an opportunity for her to transition into another space so that way we could go to the Ocotillo Learning Center and work on that stuff together. It's been hard to find jobs knowing what she may or may not be limited in doing by having that ankle bracelet. So trying to work individually with me, work individually or collectively with the young women that are also staying at Phoenix Oasis, and I'm just speaking for myself, I can't speak for any of her other supporters, but it's been a pleasure to have her out here, and it's been a pleasure to see her growth and knowing what she can do with youth, knowing that connection she has with young folks. She's both stern and friendly, and it's been a wonderful opportunity.
I'd like to begin the questions, and that is, there seems to be like two versions of Tasha here. One is that she was very shy in front of the board today, which I understand, but there seems to be a very outgoing part that we're not seeing at the podium today, so talk to us about that.
She loves to laugh. You know, it's when those moments, I think what's been important for me is in this space where I needed a serious reflection on things. She wasn't teetering around. She was very confident, telling me, like, Ellie, this is what you have to keep in mind. And it's God-centered, a lot of the advice that she gives me. And she kind of, you talk me on and off that ledge. Is that what Jordan says? You talk me on and off that ledge to make sure that I can get through those times. I don't know. She just is always positive. I don't think I have ever... I've never seen her angry. I've never seen her down. Even when she talks about being frustrated with her nieces, maybe not being as respectful to her mom as what they could, she still holds that positivity. And I see her shy around people. It took her a minute, I think, to talk to some of the, like Vivian, who's the house manager, and then the other young lady that's in there, also the shy one. And then there was a new roommate that had come in that she had her room for herself, and then this new roommate came in, and so she shares that space. And they have adjusted perfectly fine, you know, the house rules and stuff like that. She's like, oh yeah, we just changed things up inside a little bit. I don't know, she just seems to take control, but in a way that's a respectful way and a loving and caring way, because again, it's always God-centered. I graduated from seminary, so I'm about God-centered, but even sometimes it's a little bit like, okay, maybe this is you. You should take, you know, the ownership of the work that you do and maybe not so put so much on something else. So I know she's a shy person. It took her a bit to get to have conversations with me, and then we just kind of clicked and connected, and now she does laugh.
I think I'm going to be right on this one, mm-hmm. is that that she strikes me as an individual that you have to get to know her, and when she does, then she opens up. And the other thing I was going to say, I'm sorry, I get to be happy today, but when you said that there was someone shy in her halfway house, I'm like, oh, there's someone that's shyer than,
that's shyer than her.
Than who's been in the halfway house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but now she's come out of her bubble, too.
That's great.
You know, like, I think I had my first conversation with her today. We were here earlier and then had gone back, and she just spewed out information. She was happy that the possibility of Tasha's complete freedom, which was great. So, yeah.
Thank you. Any questions before we go?
Thank you so much
for representing.
Yeah.
And who is our next representative? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And can you state your name?
Yes, my name is Pamela McGuire White, and I am Tasha's sister.
And what would you like to share with the board today, ma'am?
I'd just like to share with our story is kind of unique. We share the same dad. I didn't know Tasha, or that had a sister until she was 14, and then as you guys know, at 17 she was gone. While she was gone, we built a relationship throughout the years, and Tasha is very unique and amazing. Like everybody was saying, she's always positive no matter what. I couldn't imagine facing or being away for 25 years, but I can tell you in those 25 years, my sister would always write me positive letters, encourage me send birthday cards to me, my kids, remember things like that. Since she has been out, she does discredit herself because she is a very shy person, and she is a one word person. She's even that way with me. But every morning she makes sure that she will either text me or Instagram or she Snapchat. She's into all of the technology. She knows more than me, and she just got out. But she makes sure she says, good morning, I love you throughout the day, good night. I've had some deaths throughout. My sister makes sure that she calls to comfort me, checks on me. She encourages me for work. She goes to church on Sundays with me or my dad. While we're in church, she's encouraging. Like she said, she's a very spiritual person, but she's the most positive person that I've ever met. Even with coming here today, when I've been trying to boost myself up and I'm saying, hey, you're going to get out today, and she says, but if I don't, it's okay. In God's time, it's okay. I've never seen anybody acclimate to society the way that she has. I work in the social service field for 25 years. I've been a correctional officer. I'm a case manager. I was here for her first hearing. I was here when she got out. And I was really afraid that it was going to be hard for her to acclimate back into society. I've never seen anybody be as strong, encouraging. She just came in and everything is positive to her. Nothing gets her down. She just, yeah, I said, how was the first night? Were you afraid? She says, what? No, I'm just happy. She's happy for anything. She started her job and she got her first couple of checks, and she's only allowed to go shopping in certain places. And she was able to go to Ross, and so I was happy and I picked her up and we went. But when she's shopping, she's asking me questions like, oh, what do you think my mom will want for Mother's Day? What do you think? She ended up buying me, her mother, supporter, her mentor, Mother's Day gifts with her check instead of buying stuff for herself. She's thoughtful. And I'm not just saying it because she's my sister, but if I didn't know her, she would be the person that I would want to know. She's encouraging. She teaches. And she just always has a positive attitude. And she always smiles. Even though she's nervous, she smiles for everything. She just makes you feel happy. And she's just happy to live life in another day. And that's just really what I just want to say. I'm proud of to say that I'm her sister. I wish I could have been there years ago to show her that love and that guidance. But I promise that I'll always be there now and stand by her. But I'm the older sister. She kind of is the one that leads me and gives me that encouragement and keeps me going no matter what. So.
Thank you for your statement. And first of all, thank you for your service. People who work in corrections are special. And it sounds like that you've also done some social work. And I think it's really interesting that when you say that you haven't seen anyone acclimate so quick, it's from a professional lens. It's not just the supportive sister, but someone who's watched this system. And again, not to overuse this statement, but I find that very meaningful. It's very meaningful. I'm going to ask my fellow board members any questions.
No.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Board members, my name is Heather Hamill, for the record, and I usually hate when people say this, but I'll be brief because anything that I have to say is likely going to be redundant to the beautiful testimonies that you already heard, but I just want to make a few points. Like Tasha's sister said, you will be hard to find anyone who is as tenacious as Tasha is, and as adaptable as she is. Her return has been incredibly smooth in part because of her attitude, in part because of her hard work ethic. That's just who she is. I know that the last time that she was before this board, and you referenced this, that you have a phone book full of certificates, full of her accomplishments, which I actually think speaks very highly of her tenacity, because inside it is incredibly difficult, especially for individuals who have life sentences, to get access to any programs. The programs inside for individuals with those long-term sentences are incredibly limited. So for Tasha to have built up a phone book full of certificates just speaks to how persistent she was in the pursuit of bettering herself. And that's what we've seen since she's gotten back. She doesn't have just one, she has two jobs. She's made almost every single appointment, with the exception of that missed UA, that one missed UA. But even complying with the conditions of house arrest, when, for example, you don't have a car and you're driving back and forth between two jobs, having to drive to the other side of town to meet UA appointments is incredibly difficult for most people, and not for Tasha. And again, that speaks to her tenacity, that speaks to her work ethic, that speaks to how badly she wants to be free of some of these other limitations. So I really hope that you guys give her the opportunities to start living out all of the dreams that she wants to pursue, going back to school, serving the community, because she's doing all that stuff in the limited ways that she can now. And I know that those efforts will just increase thousandsfold if you make the decision to release her from house arrest today. So, thank you.
Thank you. Quick question. We asked you to give your name for the record, but what part of the support are you exactly?
So I've known Tasha for about 2 years with some work that we did inside, but when you asked her how do you get back and forth to work or some of your jobs, I'm one of the people who helps make that happen.
And who do you work for?
Right now, we work for an organization called For the People, which provides services for individuals who are coming up.
Well, I appreciate that, and again, I thank her sister for her service, but it seems that Tasha is surrounded like by the dream team of social workers, and so it looks like that she's obviously the one putting the work into this, and that's where the focus is, but she certainly does have tremendous support out there, and it seems to really be... how can I put it? She's developing at a very rapid pace, I think, because of the help, so I appreciate that.
Well, and I also want to say, too, that she has this big group of support people because she went and found all of us, too. The team that she put that together herself, and she did that inside, which again speaks to her tenacity. She went and found everything that she thought that she would need and surrounded herself with it.
Thank you for saying that, because I wouldn't have known that. I would assume it was a support that came in her direction, and that just does say a lot about her initiative.
Yep.
Any questions for the members? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
And do we have another speaker?
Hi. Hello. My name is Erica Ovaya. I'm a nurse. I think the one word that I would use to describe Tasha would be resilient. Just seeing her throughout this whole process, she's always had a deep faith, and she stayed strong, and she stayed committed to that the whole time. And then seeing her transition on the outside, she's remained strong, resilient, and no matter what, nothing gets her down. And I'm speaking from, I have family members who were in prison, and you know, one of my brothers in and out his whole life. And so I've seen the struggle of having someone come out and not being able to adapt to the outside. Well, Tasha, on the other hand, I think she's a leader when it comes to coming out, transitioning, adapting, and keeping her head high. And I often talk to my brother about Tasha. You know, Tasha was locked up 25 years. My brother is going on 11 right now. And so he's impressed by her story. He's like, wow, you know, I want to be like that. You know, I'm nervous. He's telling me he wants to use a flip phone when he gets up. but he loves hearing about Tasha and how well she's doing, and it gives him hope. Another thing that I think that she's valuable in terms of, she talked about working with the young folks. Right now I work with about 15 young people from South Phoenix that I mentor, and they all are dealing with, you know, poverty and, you know, other issues that young Southsiders are dealing with. And recently I had one of my kids come to me and say, well, I don't want to go to school no more, I want to do this and I want to do that, and basically telling me he wants to, you know, get involved into some bad stuff. And so one day we were at Coronado, and she, Tasha happened to be working, and so I say, Tasha, come meet this young man here really quick. And, you know, in real quick seconds, you know, she's like, stay at school, you know, and give him a good little rundown. And he told me afterward, he's like, oh, I would like to talk to her more. And so, you know, I told Tasha, and she said, you know, time. So we're here at this point where, you know, she has the ability, I think, to do a lot of work in our community, and I'm looking forward to that. I think she's a strong person. I think she's smart. I think she's a leader. I wouldn't say she's shy. I would say she's just a woman of very little words. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't speak out like that, but in a lot of ways, she's a very, very vocal. She's, I mean, even on inside, because I know I knew her when she was inside, she was one of the people that people went to for, you know, to for comfort, to talk. And I don't know, I'm here today because I believe that I hope that she is granted more freedom, and she's able to do a lot of the work that that she's put out here to do, and I believe in that. And another thing too is, I told her last night, I said, well, okay, prayers for you, you know. And she's like, hey, it's in God's hands. And that's the whole thing she's been telling me this whole time. She's like, hey, I'm leaving it up to God. It's God. It's God. And you know, I appreciate and I admire her for that. She's a strong woman.
Thank you for such a great statement. And you said that you were nervous about coming up here, but I wouldn't think that at all. Lots of sunshine coming from Mr. Quinones today, but once again, I do appreciate what you do in the community, and both Mr. Johnson and I are veterans of South Phoenix, the Ronalds, and so thank you for what you're doing. And that was a great statement. Any questions from folks?
Thank you.
Someone next?
Me.
Oh, yeah, maybe, yes. Are we done with supporter statements, and believe me, over? Certainly not. Hello, ma'am.
And I don't keep words, but I have a few words. All I gotta say, I'm gonna be supporting Tasha, but she's supporting me. Because every day she called me and made sure I'm okay. So I really ain't got that much more to say. That's all I gotta say.
Well, yeah, I think that's pretty strong, that she's looking out for you. And do you have any questions from fellow board members? Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you.
As I stated, we, this is not always a very enjoyable job, so it's kind of nice to smile and have discussion and dialogue. If we're done with the supporters, then we'll ask the parole officer to approach the podium. And if you can state your name, sir.
Sure. Patrick Pogue,
Parole
Officer, Maryland Department of Corrections.
Thank you, Officer Pogue. And what would you like to share with us today?
Well, I've supervised Tasha since she's been out. She hasn't been out all that long, but I will say that is as restrictive as the home arrest guidelines and procedures are. I will say Tasha's, I don't know if it's because of her support or her or a combination of both, but she's really making it look pretty easy. As you all know, home arrest is very restrictive, and there are a lot of requirements and things that people are have to do, and things that they're, and the places, the things that they want to do were very limited in choices. My conversations weekly with Tasha are very short, as you can tell today. She is a person who's very quiet. My meetings with her are usually very brief, and sometimes I kind of scratch my head because I think that she there's more that she wants to say, but maybe she just doesn't say it. But nonetheless, we get through our meetings, and I will say that she's doing extremely well. A little side note here, I did receive an email yesterday from Mr. Pfeffer, the owner of the Phoenix Oasis Ministry. He did email me some letters that he wanted me to provide to the board, with his synopsis of how she's doing since she's been with the program. I will say that the property that that Tasha resides at, the best way to describe it is, before they did their gardening project, was very concrete and brown with sand. So ever since they did that project, which I wasn't really allowed to let her do, but Mr. Pfeffer actually requested, and I saw the merit in it, and I thought it would be a good idea for her to participate with the other residents there in a beautification project for the property. It looks amazing. It really does. I go by there and actually been commenting with some of the other residents about how nice it looks, and give them a couple of my own little tips about how to keep the plants from dying and make sure they get enough shade and water and things like that. So it does look amazing. Tasha's done an excellent job. Her itineraries are very complete. She doesn't really ask to do anything. Another couple of shopping trips that she has asked to go to the malls, but because of the GPS device, they don't transmit very well inside the malls, and we're kind of restrictive on the places she can go. So she has usually just kind of limited to specific stores and things that where we can, that are just kind of by themselves, not the whole bunch of different stores. So she's done a really good job with that. The only issue I've had is that she missed that one UA the very next day after she got out. She forgot to call her color. I'm 100% certain she's not using drugs or alcohol. I'm just certain that it was probably just overwhelming of all the things that she had to do, and the very next day after she got out, her color came up and she missed. I know she doesn't want to go back. She's told me she never wants to go back to that place, and I just think it was just a lapse, and I sat with my supervisors agreed. However, they did change the colors, her task color, so she is on sanctions for increased testing. All of the ways that she's done for us have all been negative. She hasn't missed, she hasn't come up diluted or had an unexcused UA. She's doing an excellent job. She is attending CAC programming as required by us. She is in counseling she's actually attending a MESA and doing her counseling. She's doing very well. So she's meeting all of her requirements, and she goes every 2 days. As far as her GPS device, she's charging as required. She hasn't had any alarms of any nature. She does a great job maintaining it. She knows it's very important. So I can see by the way she's maintaining her device that she's doing everything that she needs to for that. Usually by this time, maybe somebody fails to charge, somebody, I don't know, does something that they shouldn't with their device or whatever, maybe just looking at it, poking at it. But she does a really good job with it, and we haven't had any issues. She hasn't reported any negative police contact of any type. She's been actually, I think just this month now is I think when her first parole fees are due per the board's direction. I know she mentioned last week and the week before that she's actually gone down and tried to go take care of those through some of the resources like Walmart and make those payments, but she's been having some difficulty with that, and I'm trying to work with my supervisors to get that straightened out. Her fees are current. She has no financial obligations with us. She is paying restitution. She actually sends me copies of the transactions, the money orders that she makes for restitution. So she is current on that, and we make sure that's a really big part, and we make sure they make, take care of those obligations like they're court ordered to do. I think she's done very well. Like I said, surprisingly well, considering the length of time she spent incarcerated, especially when she basically went in as a juvenile. She's done excellent. I've only had her for roughly 2.5 months. She's done a great job. She would probably have been out sooner, but there's an issue with one of the places she had for the proposed residence that kind of delayed her release. But since she's gotten out, she's done fantastic. Phoenix Oasis House, they're happy to have her. And she's been a good piece of the community there. And she's done really well.
Thank you, Officer Pogue. I do recognize the law I sit on this board that, and it's for good reason, from my opinion, that home arrest is a bit of a crucible, but I'm glad that your office has the flexibility to account for some of those missteps. Otherwise, I would start to begin to believe that maybe it was too strict, but I mean, there's reason for that. All I'm saying is I'm glad you had some flexibility, and also some flexibility in allowing this beautification project. It was probably good for everybody, if not her, in helping her make the transition. It sounds like a very good report, and again, I recognize very quickly when I read the report that there had been a misstep in there. It just seemed that the totality of the report overwhelmed that, and that she'd been consistently negative, and that the odds of some sort of slip up are probably pretty high. So I am glad for the flexibility. I'll ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Again, I recognize that we say this over and over again, we'll ask for recommendations, but again, considering how short she's been on home arrest, How do you feel about her progress? I think you pretty much said, but...
Yeah. Her progress has been excellent. Whether she's continued on home arrest or actually given an opportunity, actually just sitting here today, I think if she is granted general parole, I think she would continue to flourish. There's no signs of any lapsing in the criminal ways. She's made it very clear she has no intentions of ever going back. Listening to all of her supporters and the kind of impact she's had on her life just since her release, it's pretty clear that she was a good candidate to put on home arrest, and she's excelled and met all expectations and done extremely well. It's entirely up to the board, but she's exceeded my expectations. She's met them, and like I said, it's very restrictive on home arrest, so she's done extremely well, and I think had she been given the opportunity to go to general parole, I think she would continue to do good things.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Thank you, Officer Paul.
Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Finley, if you want to approach the podium, we're getting close to the end of the hearing. Again, if you can state your name for the record.
Ms. Tasha Finley.
Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you won't repeat anything that you've already told us, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel is important to share before we deliberate?
Yes, I would just like to thank y'all for giving me a second chance at life to show y'all that you won't regret your decision. Because like he said, I'm not going back. I'm going to flourish and do what I have to do to stay out. And that's it.
Thank you, ma'am. Well, go ahead and have a seat. You can stay up front this time. Ma'am, you can just sit up front at the desk. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, and in this case, we might even look at you inadvertently, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So we'll just ask you to be patient for a few moments, and then we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, Ms. Finley. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, we've heard quite a bit of information today. This certainly has been a very upbeat hearing, and I think in this case, for me, it's interesting to note that in the case of some of these hearings, and we've heard some very good progress recently from individuals, but I can say for as good as that progress has been, you know, a lot of it's been about individuals communicating before the board, and I have to say in this unique case, it's about Ms. Finley's actions. It's her actions that are really speaking for her right now. It seemed to be that in terms of when we look at her package, the incredible amount of testimony that we heard leading up to home arrest. She's we've said more than once today that she's reserved, at least in this setting. But her actions are very loud, and I think that she has. Personally, I think she's doing a very, very good job of her transition to the community, and I am certainly open in this special case, considering that she's moving at a pretty fast pace. I am open to considering regular parole, but maybe I'm a little too enthusiastic, and I'm certainly looking forward to the input of my colleagues. Mr. Johnson.
You know, I agree. This is a very, very short time to be on home arrest. It's like 3 months. But I think that Ms. Finley is doing an excellent job out there. And I think that she's proven and earned the opportunity to be on regular parole with that. That she's doing. She's working. She's working two jobs, you know, and not just two jobs, but two jobs that are probably located 5 to 8 miles in distance away from each other. That she's doing both of those jobs and getting great reviews from those jobs. I think Ms. Finley would be an excellent example, excellent role model for those young people or even the people that she come in contact with. As even some of her supporters have said that she's been their supporter. Even her mom says, you know, she's here to support Tasha, but Tasha's really supporting her. And as the supporter says that, you know, through the hard times that she's been able to help her through. And, you know, another supporter who says that she was knew Tasha when they, I'm assuming they were incarcerated together, and that Tasha was very supportive and helping them. So I'm supportive of Ms. Finley going to home arrest, even though it's been a short period of time. They're getting great reviews from the parole officer as well, so I am supportive of her going on that regular parole.
I'll be the one, I guess. I don't know. I just think, I mean, I like the support.
Understood.
I like the all of it. I just think 2.5 months is not enough time on home arrest. It's just not quite enough time. That's an extremely short time period to be on home arrest and then to go to general parole.
Well,
convince me.
If there's one thing that's sacred to me, I'm sure it's sacred to all of us, is the independence of the board members, and certainly we've all had those moments where we're the voice of reason. And that's why I had said from the very beginning, maybe a little too enthusiastic about this, because I recognize that we have a responsibility to the community to ensure a safe transition from the correction system through home arrest and hopefully regular parole.
I'm not
really sliding back either. What I'm trying to show is respect to my colleagues, and I see the wisdom of what you're saying. I'm also feeling like this is kind of an exceptional case. It'd be one thing for me if we were going like straight to absolute discharge.
Yeah.
I think that I feel positive that she would be responsible in this transition or any role, and probably could use a little bit of freedom of movement to bolster her success. But I absolutely heard what you're saying, Ms. Rittenhouse.
But I just think it's a unique situation. This is a very unique situation, different than probably most situations that we've ever come across. Although it's a very short period of time that she's actually been out, but she's just been an enormous amount of time prior to getting out, preparing herself to get out. As the supporters have said, is that they didn't contact her, she contacted them. So, you know, it's part of being on the home arrest and the preparation and getting prepared to go back out and get involved and do things. One of the things we do get concerned about is they're having the ability to really adapt when they get out. But when she came out, she was already ready to adapt. She worked inside the prison. She worked with computers. She worked with things that we are concerned with when people get out, that adapting to using the phone and using the computer and doing those things. And she has no problem with it. From what they're saying, that she's doing more things on the phone than I can do. And, you know, putting together a website, being able to put together a website and to do some of those things to work with them, that this is just, to me, a very unique case. I think 3 months is a short period of time. I do agree with that. But I think that this young lady's been an exceptional person, that she has prepared herself, and she spent time in prison preparing herself. She spent time in prison working, getting a job, and you know, I went through that and I pulled out the one documentation, and they talked about that she was a good worker, she had good work ethic. So all of those things that we look for a person being able to adopt to adjust to when they get out, she prepared herself for those things before she got out of prison. And when she got out, she was already ready. She was ready to hit the ground and hit the ground running. And what she showed us is that she's been able to do that. She's been able to hit the ground and run and to work two separate jobs, you know. And you know, it's not just the jobs that she's working, but to work one job washing dishes, to work another job, you know, doing clerical work, those are two completely different jobs. But she's striving to improve herself. And I think that in this particular situation, I think that she's earned that she's prepared herself for it, that she was prepared and ready to go from the time that she got out to get going and move forward. And that's just the difference that I see, that, you know, the concern would be a person getting out, adjusting, you know, how do they adjust to the computers, how they adjust to use the phone. And even when we asked her, you know, although it was short when she answered, her answer to it was, I don't have no problem, I learned how to do that in prison. You know, she had already adjusted that. And the mere fact that, you know, her record shows that while she was in prison, she was working and she was doing those things. So many of the things that I would be concerned about for someone getting out, I think that this young lady has gone way over and beyond in preparing herself prior to being released from prison, to be prepared to get out, to work on computers, to do the filing job. She's probably working on the computer and doing some filing jobs with the people that she's working on. And I think what the real turning point for me was when the young lady said that she wanted to correct us. They didn't find her, she found them, that she did the research to look out and find them. Not only someone that's incarcerated and have the mental stability to put something together like that is exceptional to me, to be able to do that, who's been incarcerated for 25 years and was incarcerated at a very young age. And, you know, at that young age, to have the mental mind to put something together to do that, to know that when I get out of here, I need to have a support system, I need to reach out to some people, I need to do some things to be able to do that, to be responsible. That her mom says she calls her every day, her sister says that she calls every day, the supporter says that she talks, although when we ask her, you know, what does she do with her spare time, she didn't really say, but they was back there saying she talked on the phone, they was like, but I just think that this, I would normally not say 3 months, they would need more time, but in this particular case, I think this is just an exception that she's proven that she's capable of handling herself out there, that she's capable of handling the stress that's out there. She hasn't had any problems with the housing area that she has, that people have said, they're testifying and telling us that she's making them more comfortable than me. In fact, I actually live around the corner. I live off of 24th Street and Rose. I'm going to have to drive by this 2454 address and check it out. You know, I'm thinking that in my mind that I've driven down it, you know, that way down to 32nd Street quite a bit, and I've never really paid attention, so I'm going to have to just drive by there and kind of look over there and kind of figure out where that's at. But I think that it is a short period of time, but I think this young lady has done an exceptional job at preparing herself to be ready to be released back out into society. You know, her attitude is just one that if I'm not, then it's in God's hands. And I just believe that she put it in God's hands, and, you know, he prepared her for this time and this situation, and that that she's not a threat to society, that she won't be going back to prison, I believe. She won't be going back to prison, and that she is capable of handling herself, and she's already made the adjustment to reintegrate herself into society as far as automation goes, computers, technology, as far as all of that goes, because I thought they said she was Instagram and a snapshot and snapfish. Those are things that I got to go talk to my grandkids to help me with. So, you know, that's why I think the 3 months is a shorter period of time.
Ms. Reynolds? Oh, okay, thank you. Well, in the interest of, and this is for me, but in the interest of diplomacy, I want to say again that I do believe that our colleague Ms. Rittenhouse is very right-minded in that concern. And I'm always proud of when people are fiercely independent on this board and make sure that they hit the brakes if they're looking at it from a different angle. But I think Mr. Johnson makes a very effective argument, and I think he found the words, and I think we do that for each other sometimes, and that is that there's offsets in this particular case based on her development leading up to her home arrest, and that make this case a little bit unique, and I feel confident that we can make this transition from home arrest to general parole on a fast track. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and we'll see how the votes land. Ladies and gentlemen, just 1 second. And that is, my motion is, I'll make sure I get this language correct, to grant regular parole and to deny absolute discharge, and of course that means that we're graduating from home arrest to regular parole, and that is my motion. Second.
Agreed. We also need to deny home arrest.
Yes, and I will. Oh, thank you. But to make sure that I get that language in there, is right. That again, to grant regular parole, to deny absolute discharge, and to deny home arrest. And again, that was seconded by Mr. Johnson.
Right.
Yes.
And I agree.
And agreed upon by Ms. Rittenhouse. And please let me make sure that I check the right boxes. Release type granted. General parole. Release type denied. And there's not an actual box for that, but of course we're denying absolute discharge, and we're just writing denying. And arrest. And conditions of release, of course, are to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. Are there any other boxes that anyone in this board feels are important to check at this stage? So again, that's just to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, which we understand will continue to be monitored by the Office of Parole. And I think we can clarify this. So, Ms. Finley, do you understand what we've just done?
Yes, sir.
We are graduating you, so to speak, from home arrest to regular parole. We're denying absolute discharge. We're denying home arrest because of this change in status. And the only special condition that we've added is just to continue to follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. And I do want to add this, because you've heard the tremendous amount of dialogue going on. I don't want to say that we're sticking our neck out, but we are certainly taking into consideration that you're moving at a rapid pace. General parole can go on for some time, and I think that we owe that to the state of Arizona to ensure that someone has made a true, safe transition to being a responsible and productive citizen of this state. So certainly, parole will be a continued issue for you. You will have a parole officer and conditions of release that you need to live up to, but you will also have some more freedom under this status, and we hope that that will help you in your ongoing success. And we do, as I've stated, want to see you succeed in the community. Any further statements? Yes, Mr. Johnson.
That's funny. I'm just going to say a little bit different than my colleague, because as far as I'm concerned, we are sticking our neck out. To my knowledge, that 3-month period of time to be on home arrest is not something that we as a board have authorized, and to my knowledge, it's the first time that I've done it, you know, and so that is a big thing. So I'm telling you that we are sticking our neck out, and we are putting faith in, you know, we do want to see you be successful out there. However, I do want you to know and understand that we don't want to see you come back before this board on something negative, but we've taken that opportunity that you've only been on home arrest for 3 months, and that we've taken that opportunity because we think it's a unique situation that you're in and that you've prepared yourself. But by no means do I want you to take it lightly that this board is making a decision to release you on regular parole after a very short period of time that has been under. I anchor the same comments as Ms. Rittenhouse, that it's just something that it just doesn't happen. And so I want you to know the seriousness of it, and so I want you to be thinking about that. So if something comes across where someone else or something seems to go wrong, I want you to think about us telling you that we don't want to see you back over here again, that we're going out on the limb and sticking our necks out to do that. But we're putting our trust in you, we're putting our faith in you, and we want to see you be successful. And I want to tell you that, you know, if you continue to do those things and impact people's lives, you'll continue to make a change and make a difference in other people's lives, and you'll really make a difference in young people's lives just by the example that you live in and by what you do. You won't be able to change everybody. There are some people, some of your nieces, that aren't going to, they're just not going to confirm. You know, they're going to have to learn the hard way. You was hard-headed, you had to learn the hard way. But we try to prevent them from going that direction. But some of them will learn from it, and some of them will pick up from it, and they'll see. But you'll also be able to provide some hope, you know, to those that know what your struggles are and what you've been through, and that if you're able to make it and be successful out there, then they can be successful out there no matter what they've gone through or no matter what they're going through in life. So I'm hoping to see you be successful. And like Louis said, we both come from South Phoenix, and we work with people all the time. So I'm proud to see you come up here as a young woman, the things that you've gone through, that I would hope that you continue to strive, continue to hold your head up. And you don't have to hold your head down. You don't have to not push yourself out there to continue to be that strong person out there. So I look forward to seeing positive things come from you as you continue your career and your success and put together your supporters' website and get all those things done. Because even though, you know, they may not have been locked up, or maybe, you know, your knowledge is, you're just an exceptional person. So I just want to leave it like that, okay? So good luck, and we wish you the best, okay?
And again, before we turn the recorder off, I want to thank again my colleagues. I think in this open hearing, it's very obvious how hard we work to be independent and to lower our conscience and to really think these things through. So that being stated, that will bring this hearing to a close. Thank you.
Thank you.